Amen. What a beautiful song to hear this morning, an encouraging song. You know, Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. He is the creator of all things, and yet he is our friend. Amen. Such a personal relationship. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and anybody who's here as a guest, and anybody who's online. Before we start today's message, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day that you have given us. Lord, we gather every Sunday to hear your word, to praise you for the lights we have in you, to take time to read through your word as you guide the speaker on what you want to be said today, that each of us would take something home, take it out into this world, that we would show Christ to be the Christians you want us to be, to live a praised life to you. We just ask now, Lord, that you would help me with this message today, that you would guide me by your power and your spirit. Lord, it is your word. It doesn't matter who's up here, but you have to guide it for it to be a blessing, for it to be used for your glory. So as this message starts and begins and ends, we just ask for your guidance, and we praise you and all for your glory. In your most precious name we pray, amen. I have in my hand my family's birth certificates. Yeah. So here's mine. It looks like a four-year-old did it. This is back when they had typewriters, for those who remember. These are my child's. It's a lot more fancy, isn't it, computer age? A birth certificate is a vital record documenting a person's birth. It's a legal document providing identity and citizenship. And it includes information as your name, the address, your parents' name, when you were born, the time you were born. So mine says I was born on October 31st. And I always tell people when I tell you that I'm born on October 31st, don't come up to me after the message and say, that explains everything. I'm tired of hearing that. But because I was born that day, my mom used to call me her little pumpkin. My brother's here today. He may remember that. But I know my sister Diane always tells me that. And don't come up to me and call me little pumpkin. You don't have permission. Plus, that comes across as a little creepy, so we don't want creepy today. I have my daughter's birth certificates here. Brianna was born on November 16th, if you remember Brianna. Kayla was born on September 15th. Those were very long days for me. And for Kate, too. You were there. Brianna was born on a Wednesday, and Kayla was born on a Saturday. And because of Kayla's birth was on a Saturday, we had to spend the overnight, so they were there Sunday morning. And she was born in fall, and you know what happens during fall season, right? It's football season. So at one moment of the Sunday afternoon or morning, actually, I was sitting there holding my daughter like a little football and watching the 49er game on the TV. What more could I ever want? And for those who care, 49er fans in the room, I had the blessing of not only the birth of my child, but the 49ers won that day. They beat the St. Louis Rams. Frank Gore ran a 40-yard touchdown, Dean. You remember Frank Gore? I think he was on my fantasy football team that year. And the Niners won in the last few seconds of the game with a field goal. What a blessing. What more could I want in my life? But it got me thinking. When I was reflecting on my family's birth certificates, in the perfect world, every child born deserves to have a good life. One with good, loving parents, a safe and nurturing home, a happy home with much love, peace, and joy, having all the material possessions needed to enjoy life, access to plenty of food and water, access to healthcare and education, having the security to be able to grow up without fear, and the hope and opportunity in their lives to have the freedom to do the things they want to do, accomplish their goals as they get older, pursue happiness, reach their goals without any barriers. But unfortunately, life is not this way. We don't live in a perfect world. Many people suffer. There are four words that I believe every person needs in their life. And if you look around this room on the church wall, there are four banners that say the words love, peace, hope, and joy. The world knows these words, and we see glimpses of them. But overall, the world seeks them, doesn't it? Craves them, desires them, tries their hardest to obtain them, but often fails overall. And yes, we see love in the world today. We see acts of kindness and compassion. We do see loving parents who are good providers for their kids. A person can go on vacation and find peace and quiet. You can grab a book, go to the park, and enjoy nature and have some peace. A person can hope for things to work out, do the best they can and make it happen. A person can find joy in hanging out with friends and achieving your goals, maybe getting a gift. Yes, the world has a perspective of these words. But we know from living in this world, oftentimes these words can be superficial, fleeting, temporary, based on feelings or chance or emotions, circumstances, based on monetary wealth or material possession. Yes, the world offers versions of these words, but never truly finding them as God intended. Never truly finding them from a godly perspective. Now, a little history lesson for those who paid attention in history class. I didn't in school. I wasn't a very good student. But everybody knows Mount Rushmore, right? Everyone remember? Yeah, okay. I'm not going to quiz anybody, but it's a mountain carving in South Dakota that has the faces of four presidents. Does anybody know who the presidents are? Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt. All right? So the person who created the sculpture said he picked those four presidents because from his perspective, they represented the most important events in human history at the time. That's why he picked those four presidents. And oftentimes, people will pick their Mount Rushmore of something. Your top four things to go on vacation. Top four things you like to eat or places to visit. I think in the Christian life, a great Mount Rushmore of four words is love, peace, hope, and joy. The title of my message today is this: What We Have Found in Jesus. What we have found in Jesus. So while this is an endless subject, there are so many words that we can talk about what Jesus has given us. Like Caitlin's song, We Found a Friend in Jesus. And you probably have your own Mount Rushmore of Christian words. For today's message, I'm going to focus on these four words. What we have found in Jesus is love, peace, hope, and joy. What we have found means through an experience or through a series of experiences that a discovery or conclusion has been reached through a search, investigation, or another process, simply like living our daily lives. So I have a question for the Christians in the room. Have you found these words in your life? Have you seen Jesus make these words a reality? I think the answer is a resounding yes. It's a resounding amen. We know these words before Christ, and we know them after. Is there not a big difference? As a Christian, these words can mean so much to you. I think there's a reason why our leaders got these banners so we can look at them every time we're here. Jesus wants us to experience these words in our daily life, to remind us of them, make them a reality. Why have we found these words in Jesus? That's a no-brainer question and answer, right? It's because of his work on the cross and our prayer of salvation when he asked him to save us. We have them daily as we walk this journey of life. May we live a dedicated and holy life close to him so they're always present. And we have them for all eternity. So let's look at these four words, which are mentioned hundreds of times through Scripture and oftentimes are mentioned together. So let's look at them from a worldly perspective, and let's look at them from a godly perspective. And a few portions of Scripture I want to share this morning. You'll see the difference. One, first, love. Worldly perspective. Often based on feelings, attraction, or conditional relationships. It can be fickle, selfish, and easily fades. Worldly perspective. Does that ring a bell? We know what the world is today. Oh, godly perspective, rooted in God's unconditional sacrificial love, demonstrated through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Christian love is patient, kind, selfless, and seeks the good of others. It is not just a feeling, but a commitment to act with love even when it's difficult. Big difference, right? If I had to point to one portion of Scripture to talk about Christ's love, I would always go to his death and crucifixion. And we know in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see our Lord Jesus Christ nailed to a cross. Think about this. Hanging, bruised, beaten, bloodied, as he was shedding his blood at Calvary's lamb, as Calvary's lamb, as he's paying the price for our sin. Let's read Matthew 27, 39 through 42. This is what Jesus was hearing when he was on the cross. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. These are supposed to be godly men. Verse 42, "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him." And we say this all the time in the Christian life and we meditate this a lot, but we know why he stayed on the cross. He wasn't concerned for himself. He was concerned about you and I. And yet in the midst of his sufferings and the mockings and the pain and despite them, what does Jesus say on the cross? We hear his compassionate words of love. In Luke chapter 23, 34, what does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Is that not words of love? And we hear in Luke 23, 42 through 43. We love this portion of Scripture. The thief on the cross, who once mocked him, had a change of heart, who begged for mercy at his last hours of his life. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And again, compassionate words of love. "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." And then we hear Jesus' last words before he gave up his spirit in John chapter 19 through 30. The words simply, "It is finished." It is finished. His work was done. You see, Christians, sometimes we forget about Jesus' love in our life. We can. We need to be reminded. We need to remember his words at the cross. Full of love and compassion for you and I. He's talking not just to them that were watching him on that day. He was talking to you and I. Isn't that beautiful? Years later, Jesus is giving us his word. He's talking to you and I how much he loves you and I. Remember his actions. He stayed on the cross, love. When you were at your lowest and asked him to save you, he said yes. He forgave your sin. Many people come to Christ at their lowest, people who want to commit suicide, who are addicted to drugs, have bad marriages, a bad upbringing, are financially broke, who are broken, or have done horrible sins. Gang members get saved. Criminals get saved in prison. And Jesus shows his love to each one. And then he says he loves us each and every day. When you open his word, when you say a prayer, when you're desperate and you got to get on your hands and knees and pray, and he's listening to you, that's love. Through the ups and downs of life, right? Every day can be like this. You can have a good day or a bad day. He loves you unconditionally when you blow it. The Lord's love is the greatest thing you will ever taste. I can testify to that. Can you testify to that? I can say amen. Is the foundation of everything of who he is and how he treats us. What we have found in Jesus is love. Let's look at peace. Worldly perspective. Again, this should ring a bell. Often equated with the absence of conflict or a sense of tranquility based on circumstances. It is easily disturbed by external factors. It is often very fragile in the world today. I know everybody watched the news yesterday. And every day you watch the news, you see how unpeaceful this world is. From a godly perspective, one, it's a deep inner peace that comes from being reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's a peace that transcends circumstances and is rooted in trust in God's sovereignty and his promises. First point, the peace of salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I love this verse. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of salvation. I love the word peace. Those who know me best know how much I love that word. It's my favorite word. I know what it is like to live a life that's not peaceful. Before Christ, my life was not peaceful internally and externally. None of our lives were probably peaceful. And before Christ, none of us had peace with God. The Bible is clear about this. It is unmistakably clear about this. Before Christ, we're dead in our sin. Before Christ, we are his enemy. Before Christ, we are headed to hell. People in the world want to debate that, but the Bible's clear. You can't debate God's word. You can try. Oh, but after you get saved, what are you? You're alive in Christ. You're his child. And where are you going? Heaven. Your eternity is set, no debate. Let's always be thankful as Christians we have the peace with God. I remember getting saved, and my life wasn't easy. I still had my trials and testings. I still had a lot of work in my own character. I wasn't a perfect person. But I tell you, I felt this peace in my life. For the first time, I truly had peace. And isn't that beautiful? The peace that the Lord gives a person. The peace of salvation. Be grateful for it. Be thankful for it. You have peace with God. Amen? Amen. The second point, we have peace in our daily lives. We need it. We often cling to these verses in Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. I know many of you probably have these verses memorized. But it's a great section of scripture about peace. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a reason why I love these verses. Because it tells the contrast between anxiety and peace. Because we know how anxiety feels. But it reminds the believer that we should not fear. We should not be paranoid. We should not be uneasy. Why? Well, the answer is easy. Because as believers, we have direct access to God, the maker of heaven and earth, who has all power and authority no matter what situation you're going through. And what does God promise to those who go to him in prayer during anxiety? They will experience his peace. It is a promise. And I love these three important positives of the word peace in this portion of Scripture. One, God's peace is supernatural and unexplainable. I don't think we can explain it. It is truly amazing how God can and will respond during difficult times. He has responded, hasn't he? Second, God's peace will guard your hearts, and God's peace will guard your minds through Jesus Christ. He guards our feelings and our thoughts, our emotions. Peace no matter what we're going through. I think we can testify about God's peace in our life. So let's be grateful to be saved, to have the peace of salvation, and be grateful for the peace that we have in our daily lives. What we have found in Jesus is peace. So we looked at love and we looked at peace. Let's look at our third word, hope. And once again, let's look at the worldly perspective. Often wishful desire based on uncertain possibilities or positive outcomes. It can easily be lost when faced with adversity. This world offers no hope. Godly perspective. A confident assurance based on God's promises. That he will take care of us daily and the hope of eternal life in Him. It is not wishful thinking, but a firm conviction that God will fulfill His promises. Let me ask you this morning, would you rather rely on the world's promises or God's? People rather rely on the world's. But we can praise God for our living hope. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says these beautiful words. Praise to be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You know, Jesus' hope is not a fantasy. It's not make-believe. It's real. And why do we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has someone ever asked you, why do you have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's simply this. He died, was buried, and rose again. He is alive. Right? We have a Savior who's alive. And because He lives, and because we believe in Him, we will be resurrected with Him one day and be in His presence. That's the hope that we have. Yeah, I hope I get a raise in my job. I hope I can buy things for my kids. I hope I can go on vacation. Oh, it doesn't compare to the hope of being resurrected with Jesus Christ. Think about our heavenly inheritance. We know this world will perish. We can all perish tomorrow. Someone can hit a button, and our country can get attacked. And we can do the same to somebody else. It's scary, but it's reality. It can end just like that. The things of this world will spoil and fade. They will not last forever. But the child of God, our inheritance can never be lost. It's with us now and it's with us forever. It's undefiled, it's imperishable, it's unfading. Isn't it beautiful that the Lord is creating a place for us? He is keeping it for you and I in heaven. As Christians, we are blessed to have godly hope. The promise of eternal life, and the promise that He will be with us daily. The hope that He will get us through each and every day, each and every hour. The hope that He will get you through your situation. I know everybody here has something going on, probably, and you're hoping it works out. Well, it's in Jesus' hand. You have the promise that He will work it out. What we have found in Jesus is hope. Amen. So we looked at the words of love, peace, and hope. We've tasted God's love. We've tasted His peace. We've tasted His hope. And that gives us joy. Joy like no other. Worldly perspective. Often equated with happiness, a fleeting emotion dependent on positive experiences or circumstances, it can be easily taken away by negative situations. Oh, godly perspective. Listen to these words. A deep, abiding joy that comes from knowing God and experiencing His presence. It's a joy that transcends circumstances and is rooted in the Holy Spirit. It is a joy that can be present even in the midst of trials. That sounds so bizarre, doesn't it? But the Lord can give joy in the midst of your trial. As you meditate on His love, His peace, and His hope, it brings us joy. My last Bible verse today to read is in Psalm 16. It's Psalm 16:11. And I love these words. It's David. He says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with your joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Psalm 16 centers on entrusting oneself to God's care and walking closely with Him. And David closes this psalm with beautiful words, thanking the Lord for showing him the way of life that leads to heaven. Christians, we have much joy to be thankful about. Not joy in your material possessions, in your money, in your hobbies. Yes, they bring us joy. But nothing compares to the joy as a Christian. The joy of knowing you're going to heaven. The joy of knowing to be in His presence every day. The joy of one day you will see Him face to face. The one who saved you, who's walked with you on this earth, who watches you when you sleep and when you arise, you will gaze upon him one day. We don't deserve it. But you will see your Jesus one day. That should bring you joy. The joy of a new heavenly body. Who wouldn't raise their hand and say amen to that? Amen, sister. Amen. The joy of no more sin. I'm tired of sin. Sickness, sadness, dying. You watch the news today. It's sad. All these wars with these countries, innocent people are suffering. They didn't do anything wrong, but it's the evilness of man. Satan doing his thing, but it's for a time. Joy's coming. Joy's coming. It's coming. This is one of my favorites. The joy of a heavenly reunion with Christian loved ones and friends who have gone before us. You know, this one really hits home because when you lose somebody, you often will shed a tear. You might do it in front of family and friends. You might do it in the privacy of your own home. But joy's coming. Think about it for a second. You lose a loved one. Yes, I understand that you shed a tear. I am with you. I'm amen on that. But think about it. One day you're going to see them face to face again. The joy that you will have. I have a niece who passed away from cancer in her 30s, who was like a daughter to me. But I will see her again. It will be joy like no other. And I have another list of people. You have your list. Joy is coming. Hang in there. We have a lot to be joyful about. Remember God's promises, his abiding joy that comes from knowing him and being in his presence in our daily lives. And we know this world seeks joy from so many things, but it is empty. Nothing can replace the joy the Lord can give a person. What we have found in Jesus is joy. Amen. I'm going back to my birth certificate here. Nice and old. Actually, I'll go to my kids' one because it looks better. But everybody here probably has a birth certificate, right? Probably have it in your house somewhere. You know, when a person becomes a Christian, they get another birth certificate? Right? We often use the words born again Christian. In John 3:3, what does the Lord Jesus say? This is the Lord saying these words. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. When a person becomes a Christian, it is a spiritual birth, not a physical. And when does a person become a Christian? Like your birth. There's a date and time on here, right? That when you were born. You don't become a Christian by going to church your whole life. By coming to church periodically, for saying a prayer, for doing good works. There is a date and time where you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. There is a date and a time. And I don't have my heavenly birth certificate with me, but it's in heaven. And mine will say October 20th, 1990. It's a long time ago. I got saved halfway through college. And it made me rejoice when I was thinking about it because there's a heavenly record of it. It's called the Book of Life. So God keeps a record of all those for the centuries who've asked Christ to be their Savior and have followed him as Lord. My name is written in the book of life. And so, dear Christians, remember, you have a heavenly birth certificate. Don't forget to pause and reflect on it. What you have found in Jesus is love, peace, hope, and joy. And we know life is not perfect. You know, Christians, sometimes people think Christians are naive and they live in white picket fences and everybody here is joyful and skipping through the fields their whole day. That's not true. We have situations where we're not joyful. My dishwasher had a problem last week and had an electrical problem all within the same day. Ask Caitlin, I wasn't joyful. Oh, so frustrated. Right? We know that. And there's more serious things than that. But remember what you found in Jesus. Think about your life before Christ, and think about it now. Don't these words have a deeper and different meaning? And as Christians, maybe show these words to each other. Maybe encourage each other in love and peace and hope and joy. And maybe show it to the world that doesn't know him. And that's a message for another day. Ada will pull the hook if I start going that route. But we have a responsibility. If we have found those words in Jesus, what's our responsibility? Show it to others. Amen. And for the person in this room or listening online, that you don't have a heavenly birth certificate, there's not a date or time where you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you a question. What's keeping you from being saved? What's keeping you from a God who created you, who loves you, who's trying to show you how much he loves you, and how much he wants to make peace with you, and how much hope he wants to give you, and how much joy he wants to give you in your life? I would suggest talk to the Christian in the room that you know. Have a conversation. Tell them why, what's keeping you from being saved. And maybe they can encourage you to think about it. And to maybe realize, you know what, I want to be saved today. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ once and for all. I want it to be clear. I want my name to be written in the book of life. I want a heavenly birth certificate. So if there's anybody in this room that is in this situation, I pray that you talk to the person in this room that you know is a Christian. And remember, Christians, what will you found in Jesus today? Let's say the four words with me. What have you found in Jesus? Love, peace, hope, and joy. Amen. Let's say a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to be able to gather in your presence, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful to be your children, to know if we left this earth today, where would we go? We would be in your presence, Lord. We thank you for your work on the cross, for your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for showing yourself to others that you were alive. And we thank you for saving us when we asked you to forgive our sin and to be our Lord and Savior. Amen. And Lord, as Christians, we can rejoice as we look at the walls. Every time we walk in this room, Lord, when we see these four banners, we can say, Lord, praise God for your love. Praise God for your peace. Praise God for your hope. And praise God for your joy that nothing in this world can give us, Lord. But we have tasted them in Jesus Christ. We have seen them in you, and we thank you for that this morning. And for anybody in our midst today who is in our presence in this room or is listening online who've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you touch their hearts and open their ears and their minds, that they would want to know you to be their Lord and Savior, Lord, so they would have the love, the peace, and the hope, and the joy that only you can give, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we end this message and we go on our way, we ask for your protection on the road as we work and do our things through the week until we meet again. We praise you and we love you. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.